Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from Revelation chapter 7. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with faith in your Son, so that we may enter into the joy of all your saints. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm proclaiming God's word from Revelation. One of the memorable images from this book is the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the four horsemen of Revelation. Associated with these horsemen, if you've read the book of Revelation, you know, are things like famine, death, wild beasts, and of course, plague. Plague. Here we are in this year of plague, and it seems by what's happening in Europe that we might be going into it next year as well. Plague as one of the horsemen of the apocalypse. And we might naturally think that if there are disasters like war or famine or plague, that people will turn back to God, that this will bring them to their senses. Finally, they will see reality. They'll move from a dreamland and understand that there is a God to whom they are accountable, that they will understand that life is more fleeting than they think. But if you read the book of Revelation, you will see that things like plague or war or famine do not bring people to repentance. If anything, it hardens them in their unbelief. The four horsemen of the apocalypse will not bring people to God. But today I'm proclaiming good news from the book of Revelation, and that is that God does have a way of bringing us back to himself, and that it is by the blood of the Lamb. Today I'm proclaiming Christ and what he has done for us and the victory that God has won for us in Christ. A victory that brings us unity with people from every tribe and people and language. A victory that brings us unity with the whole hosts of heaven. A victory in which we share in that great feast, that great marriage feast of Christ and his bride, where all tears are finally wiped away. Now, the book of Revelation is a vision. And in this book, we see a vision of the veil being removed between heaven and earth. And we see that in worship, even in our worship, heaven meets earth. Now listen to the vision that we hear about today. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." Now, the context of this vision is significant, because John has just heard that there is this number, 144,000, that they are assembled before God, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is evidently an allusion to the book of Numbers, where we see the tribes of Israel surrounding the tabernacle, the tent of God, in a military formation, ready to go on the march through the wilderness. So John hears this number, 144,000. He has in mind, and we with him, the allusion to Numbers, this military formation. But what does he see? He sees a multitude, the number of which no one is able to count. And not from one ethnicity, but from all the peoples of the world. If you like, Revelation moves from the symbolic number, 144,000, to the statistical number, the number that no one is able to count. This is a bit like, by the way, what happens earlier in the book of Revelation. John hears of the approach of the Lion of Judah, that great fierce beast. But what does he see? He sees the Lamb slain. Now let's think about this great multitude. They are from every nation, tribe, people, and language. There's a universality here. Just as all people are made in God's image, so when it comes to redemption, people from all backgrounds are brought together by God. And one way to think about the robes and the branches is to think about the robes as the righteousness that God gives, and the palm branches as symbols of the victory of God. And they show the unity they have in their great acclamation. Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. It is God who has given salvation to them. In other words, this is not the victory of one nation over another, or of one ethnicity over another. We could add, it's not the victory of one gender over another, or of one class over another. It's a victory won by God, salvation for his people. A victory that brings unity not only among the human community, but with the whole host of heaven. This is what John sees and hears. And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, Amen. Blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen is the great word of the liturgy. It's the word which God's holy ones use when they show their assent. Amen is a word which we say together, a word which brings unity. Yes, it is so. Salvation belongs to God. Therefore, all the things that humans, when they have power, attribute to themselves, like glory and wisdom and honor, truly belong to God. And it's in the acclamation of this that cosmic unity is revealed. We sang these words, by the way, didn't we, earlier in our service today, when we sing that great hymn, This is the Feast of Victory for Our God. We are singing words which largely come from the book of Revelation, where we understand rightly that we worship with the whole of the heavenly host, that we are unified not simply with our brothers and sisters here in this church building, or those who are in other churches around the world, but with all God's holy ones. Now listen to what happens next. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? I said to him, Sir, you are the one that knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now this figure of an elder asks John this question. And I think one good way to think about an elder, especially in this context, is one who initiates another into a mystery. The elder is a mystagogue, initiating someone into the mystery, something they can see but not yet understand. And the elder initiates John by asking him a question. The elder knows the answer, John doesn't. This is a teaching technique, leading someone into a mystery. When I was thinking about this during the week, it reminded me of the show that was popular when I was a kid called The Curiosity Show. Some of you might remember this, a show aimed at kids showing scientific experiments. And one of the presenters would say, How did that egg get into the bottle? when we put some burning paper in there. I'm glad you asked. It's a key way they communicated the mystery of this world. Something like that, I believe, is happening here. The elder is initiating John into this mystery, and with him, us also. The answer is, these are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have come, in other words, from opposition, from trouble, from distress, and even from persecution. Think about the way that the Beatitudes wrapped up today, and how Jesus pronounces blessings on those who suffer being reviled and harmed for Christ's sake. They've remained faithful, this vision is saying, these words are saying. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I think the best thing I can do at this point is not say too much here, but let you think about this image in your mind's eye. Picture somebody washing a robe and making it white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, as Christian people, we know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's his blood which cleanses us and gives us righteousness so that we can stand blessed before God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, our Lord said. Those who have washed their robes, purified them, made them white in the blood of the Lamb, it is they who stand before God. It's this gift of righteousness that comes through faith in Christ and his redemption that gives God's holy people the strength to stand faithfully even in the face of trouble and distress and even persecution. It's on the basis, this basis, of redemption won by Christ that we now have this great vision of hope. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The victory is Christ's. He is the one who has conquered death. He is the one who gives us unity with people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. He is the one who gives us unity with the cosmos, with all God's holy ones. And he is the one who gives us a foretaste of the feast of victory even today. We are about to celebrate the Lord's Supper on this All Saints Sunday. Listen as Pastor Joshua chants the preface for the Lord's Supper today. These are the words that he will be chanting. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In the blessedness of your saints, you have given us a glorious pledge of the hope of our calling, that, moved by their witness and supported by their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Things like famine and war and plague won't in themselves bring us back to God. But the redemption won for us in Christ Jesus, that brings us back to our Father in heaven. It's in his blood that we have unity with people of different nations and tribes and languages. It's through his blood and around his throne that we have unity with all the holy ones of God. And today, as we come forward to receive communion, the veil between heaven and earth is removed. We are one with all God's holy ones. So let us also today give our amen. And when we sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts," let us recognize that we are with that great multitude that stands victorious before the throne. Well, may God keep us in this faith so that we persevere, even in the face of distress, of opposition, of persecution, even in the face of plague. May God keep us in this persevering faith so that when all is revealed, we stand numbered among these holy ones of God. And may this happen for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.